Chapter 13. First they could see nothing in the water, though it was not so deep nor the night so dark, but that their father's light kerseymere coat would have been visible if he had lain at the bottom. Joshua looked this way and that. "He has drifted into the culvert," apostrophe he said. Below the footbridge of the weir the stream suddenly narrowed to half its width, to pass under a barrel archer culvert constructed for wagons, to cross into the middle of the mead in haymaking time. It being at present the season of high water, the arch was full to the crown, against which the ripples clucked every now and then. At this point he had just caught sight of a pale object slipping under. In a moment it was gone. They went to the lower end, but nothing emerged. For a long time they tried at both ends, to effect some communication with the interior, but to no purpose. "We ought to have come sooner," apostrophe apostrophe said the conscience-stricken Cornelius, when they were quite exhausted, and dripping wet. "I suppose we ought," apostrophe replied Joshua heavily. He perceived his father's walking stick on the bank. Hastily picking it up he stuck it into the mud among the sedge. Then they went on. "Shall we say anything about this accident?" Apostrophe apostrophe whispered Cornelius as they approached the door of Joshua's house. "What's the use? It can do no good. We must wait until he is found." Apostrophe apostrophe they went indoors and changed their clothes, after which they started for the manor house, reaching it about 10 o'clock. Besides their sister there were only 3 guests, an adjoining landowner and his wife, and the infirm old rector. Rosa, although as he had parted from them so recently, grasped their hands in an ecstatic, brimming, joyful manner, as if as he had not seen them for years. "You look pale," apostrophe she said. The brothers answered that they had had a long walk and were somewhat tired. Everybody in the room seemed charged full with some sort of interesting knowledge. The squire's neighbor and his wife looked wisely around, and Felmer himself played the part of host with a preoccupied bearing which approached fervor. They left at 11, not accepting the carriage offered, the distance being so short, and the roads dry. The squire came rather farther into the dark with them than he need have done, and wished Rosa good night in a mysterious manner, slightly apart from the rest. When they were walking along, Joshua said, with desperate attempt at joviality, "Rosa, what's going on?" Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, I apostrophe she began between a gasp and a bound. He apostrophe, "Never mind, if it disturbs you." Apostrophe apostrophe, she was so excited that she could not speak connectedly at first, the practiced air which as he had brought home with her having disappeared. Calming herself she added, "I am not disturbed, and nothing has happened. Only he said he wanted to ask me something, someday, and I said never mind that now. He hasn't asked yet, and is coining to speak to you about it. He would have done so tonight, only I asked him not to be in a hurry. But he will come tomorrow, I am sure." Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.